Money FM 89.3, best of prime time.
This is Prime Time on Money FM 89.3. I'm Howie Lim. Now, passwords as a form of security are flawed. They're stolen, they lead to breaches, people forget them, and they can use insecure credentials and repeat them across services. So solutions such as password managers can help, but only to an extent. However, is it possible to move away from using passwords altogether? Now that sounds exciting for one who can't remember her passwords. According to Microsoft, 150 million people are already using passwordless logins each month. At the same time, experts are also encouraging two- or multi-factor authentication policies in an increasingly remote working world. In today's world, there are many ways to identify a person and prove who they are, or find other authenticators, which will enable trust, stronger security, and enhance the user experience without compromise. We're joined today by Serkan Chetan, Technical Director for APJ at One Identity, to find out what they've got for us. Serkan, thanks for joining us today. Hope you're well where you are.
Yeah, pretty well, thank you. Good to be here.
Happy to have you. So let's talk about this passwordless future. How can it happen? I'm excited because I'm the sort who's, unfortunately to admit, it's the same password for everything, and I know that's really bad.
Yeah, no, exactly. And I think it is going to be an exciting future. You know, when you, if we just stop and look at, like, for example, with passwords, they've actually been around since the 60s. It's been around for a long time, pre-internet era. And I'd say many people will agree that it's become a bit of a pain. You know, there's various studies out there that will say that an average person has anywhere around 25 different accounts and passwords that they use just for work, just for their corporate life. Then if you added their personal life and banking and social platforms and everything else that they have, you know, you're coming up to around 70 to 80 different passwords, and it's not, I don't think anyone can possibly remember all of these different types of passwords, yet alone, you know, give each one a unique password for each of these, right?
I've resorted to writing them down and sticking them at the back door of my cupboard or something.
That's like one of the biggest security no-nos right there.
I know, absolutely. I know. So let's talk about this passwordless future. It sounds exciting. Tell us how it's done.
So I think, you know, with that approach of writing down passwords, it's been it's been something that's been in practice for a long time, unfortunately. And if you look at, like, if you look at the data breaches that have occurred, right, any of the data breaches or security incidents that have occurred, passwords are always one of the number one reasons, one of the number one causes. You know, there was a 2018 report around this, or 2019 report, sorry. They were stating that 80% of all breaches were some form of credential abuse. So moving to a passwordless future, or moving to a stronger method, I should say, of being able to authenticate and identify a person is actually something that we need to get to.
Here's my paranoia, though. Are we talking about retina scanning?
So there's actually a couple of different ways. You know, retina scanning is part of, well, it's all part of what we call biometrics, right?
Yeah.
And when we talk about biometrics, there's two different types, really. There's a physiological type of biometrics, like your retina, your fingerprint. There's some that do palm vein type biometrics. And then the other side of it is also what we call behavioral biometrics, which is around, like, your human behavioral type of traits, like the way that you use a keyboard, the way that you interact with a machine, your mouse movements, the applications that you access, your typing rhythms, and a whole bunch of other factors that go into that.
Is that what a passwordless future will look like, or sort of an amalgamation of all those things, Serkan?
You know, absolutely. That's where, you know, that's where, if you look at where the industry is going, or where a lot of organizations are actually getting to, it's really about, it's a journey that organizations will start moving towards, right? But ultimately, at the moment, where we're seeing a lot of people getting towards is using a combination of both the physiological and the behavioral biometrics to get to that point, to be able to move towards that passwordless future. There's various advantages that it provides, obviously, in taking both of those approaches. You know, with being able to do things like real-time detection of abnormal or suspicious behavior, you know, being able to continuously monitor. But one of the things is also, with a traditional approach to passwords, systems generally just authenticate the user or verify the user's identity, who they claim to be, at the beginning, at the session. But by taking these additional approaches, this actually continuously will verify the user's identity and will continue to learn as well from the user's behaviors.
Ah, in case you get knocked out by a perpetrator whilst you're in the middle of a session and they take over, so to speak.
Absolutely. Ooh. Yeah, it's about detecting those type of threats.
How close are we to start using this kind of passwordless approach? Or have organizations already begun?
There's actually a couple of organizations who are already looking towards moving to this passwordless type of approach. And each organization's a little bit different in terms of where they're currently at with their journey to move this way, right? And you know, I'll be clear about that it will be a bit of a journey because there are different types of challenges that organizations will need to face and overcome, you know, whether it be technical challenges or non-technical challenges. You know, each company is a little bit different. And there's different aspects that need to be considered as well. You know, it's not just about the biometric side of it, but it's also about the organization's existing, what we call identity security practices, on how they're actually governing and controlling the access that they're assigning to users. So as part of this transition, this journey, organizations will need to look at what are their existing processes and actually just go back and revisit some of those. You know, there's better ways out there to be able to manage the accesses and the authorizations, you know, and what's been granted to the end users.
So who might find it easier to switch? Large organizations, smaller ones, or does it depend on, say, where they are on their digital transformation journey, the number of people they have, the number of people they have working in sensitive areas, so to speak? Those kinds of considerations.
I think with either the large or the small organizations, you know, regardless of size, each type of those organizations are going to have their own challenges. And like I was saying, whether it's, you know, technical or a non-technical challenge, you know, from a technical perspective, some of the challenges that organizations will face is going to be around supportability of legacy applications. And that's true regardless of size, regardless of if you're a large organization or a smaller one. You know, you do have existing applications and systems that are in place. So it's about how do you actually make those applications support this type of passwordless approach. The other side is also the need for adoption around standards as well, because as part of this, enterprises will need to look at actually integrating these applications with a passwordless and a biometric approach together. So they'll need to look at adopting these new types of standards. The smaller or the larger organizations, I think regardless of size, they're all just going to have their own different challenges. We'll just be at different scales.
Serkan Chetan, Technical Director, APJ at One Identity. What might the biggest challenge be? Would it be people again? Getting them used to a different approach? It seems we've barely gotten around to having those unique passwords for every single account that we have.
Well, I'm not too sure if it's going to be people, really. Like, when you think about it, a lot of end users are already using a passwordless approach today. You know, every smartphone these days, you know, every modern smartphone these days have a fingerprint scanner on the back of them or underneath the screen, or they do the face recognition type of technology. So we're already using a lot of these passwordless approaches today from a user experience and from a usability side. The challenges really are going to be about with that internal journey inside the organizations. And one of the biggest challenges might be the technical challenge. You know, integrate these to their existing system. The other one will be about being able to make sure that they're correctly setting up and configuring the accesses that they're assigning to the users and to their identities as well.
So can talk to us about then some best practices for businesses to scale up the required resources to try and embrace this kind of amalgamation of a passwordless future. You talked about legacy systems before. That might be a challenge for companies to try and integrate into a new way of doing things.
Yeah, correct. So I guess, you know, as a basic requirement right now, you know, one of the things that a lot of organizations need to be considering is really that they can't just rely on a username and a password anymore, right? Although we have the legacy applications and the new modern applications that we're currently working with, I think it's proven out there that just relying solely on a username and a password is not secure enough, right? So adding a process like multi-factor authentication is a very simple first step, you know, that any organization can start to undertake immediately. You know, following on from that, it's just also about controlling, you know, applying those governance and those controls around the type of access rights that are applied to users and what's been granted to the user from the applications. You know, one of the traditional approaches when talking about that has been the approach that companies used to take with cloning the access. You know, when we have a new employee who's coming on board and they're joining an existing team, that their access is copied or cloned from another person. So it's effectively giving too much access rights, and it's going against what we call least privilege access model. I guess some general security tips just to add on to that, you know, is around actually education. You know, ensure that your staff are just reading the latest messaging, understanding that not every email or phone call is to be trusted. You know, it's quite key out there at the moment. Enforcing data security policies.
Unfortunately, Serkan, those are tips with regard to the employees' behavior that we've heard many a time from security experts. It seems we're a stubborn lot. We refuse to do it. So that's going to be a challenge, isn't it?
Absolutely. And these are common tips. And I think even though it's been heard before, it's definitely worth reiterating how important it is, and constantly being in mind, constantly keeping this in front of mind for the end users and making sure that they actually understand the data security policies and why they exist, the importance of that, and being educated around these type of processes.
So, Serkan, what do you think the biggest challenge might be for an employee to embrace this kind of new way of doing things? It's almost sounding like to me that it might be an amalgamation of one security layer after another. So we've got the passwords, we've got the 2FA, we've got now maybe biometrics, we've now got, oh, it's going to track how I use my keyboard, etc. How might that, say, affect productivity, perhaps, or interrupt my access to the work network, etc.?
One of the, I guess, from an end user's perspective, you know, usability is probably going to be an improvement, right? Without having to remember a password, without, you know, those 12 characters.
That's true.
Or writing those down, there's definitely a massive improvement in actual usability of the IT system. It's one less thing that, well, 20 less things in some cases that we need to remember now. So it's an easier way to access, and it will become a lot faster. Like, you know, one of the challenges that you find with organizations with, you know, lost productivity due to, you know, forgotten passwords or password reset type issues. So really there's a lot of productivity and performance and just general improvement to the actual user experience that can be provided to the end users from this.
Serkan Chetan, Technical Director, APJ at One Identity. Serkan, thank you so much for your time, and stay safe, sir.
Thank you very much. Good speaking to you.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.